So we're just going to turn in our Bibles to Colossians, and Colossians chapter 3. I'm just going to read a few verses from Colossians. The title of what I want to talk about is, What's Your Focus? What's your focus today? What are you focused on? What is filling your life? What's filling your gaze today? What are the things that occupy your thinking? What are the things that you're praying about? The things that we're focused on are the things that occupy our time and often can be the things that we're praying about. So let's read from God's word. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. This is where Jesus is from. When it uses that phrase, things above, there's a passage in John chapter 8, 23, where it talks about that's where Jesus is from, above. The place where he's from is the place where we need to set our hearts. Set our hearts on the place where Jesus is from, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And verse 6 of this particular passage begins to talk about some of the things, and I'm not going to go into that today, the things that we can set our minds on, and they're unhealthy things, and there are things which make us into the type of society that we don't want to see. And so if you want to read on in verse 6, you'll find out some of those things. Verse 3 says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What an incredible passage of Scripture. Do you know, I thought a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was thinking, what am I going to be speaking on? I was thinking, I might do a wee sermon series on Colossians. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. And what have I done? Every time I've been up to speak in the last few weeks, I've been speaking from Colossians, simply because there's so much in this book, and it's just an incredible book. And when we think about this subject, where's your focus, there are literally hundreds of places we could go in the Bible to begin to think about what do we focus on. And my problem was focusing in on what to say and what not to say today, because I could have went on for a long time. I'm glad I didn't plan to do that, because I don't have the voice for it today. But in the Gospels, for example, the word Luke is mentioned, Luke as an L-O-O-K, is mentioned, 47 times, looking 26 times, see 162 times, watch 27 times, watching 6 times, and watched 7 times. The Bible has a lot just to say in the Gospels about seeing, about looking, about watching. That wasn't in the letters of Paul and the others. That wasn't in the Old Testament. That was just in the Gospels. And most of these things are things that Jesus is saying. So I think he's quite interested in what we're focused on. He's interested in the things that are occupying our lives and our time. And for me, this message actually started in my daily devotions when I was reading from Matthew chapter 26, verse 16. And just reading through, and I came to this part where it says in verse 16, from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Judas began to focus his energy, his time, his thoughts on finding a way to betray Jesus. The person who had loved him unconditionally, who'd chosen him to be a disciple, and now all of his attention is focused on how am I going to catch him out? How am I going to betray him? And we know from the Gospels that he betrayed him for money, 30 pieces of silver. Imagine that. It's hard to believe that somebody would do that, but that's what happened. And it's just that whole thing about him intentionally looking for ways, for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Just looking for that right moment where he would catch him. And I think the important thing that we need to glean today is that we're always focused on something, whether good or bad or indifferent. We're always focused on something. Think about it. Stop thinking about it. Think about your life. There are very few times, well, maybe you're different from me, but there are very few times where you're not focused on something. You're thinking about something. You're watching something on the television. You're focused on whatever it is you're focused on. And I was thinking about that. Well, when I think about the word focus, what do you think I think about? Cameras, yes. Photography, yes. And that's one of my passions, one of my hobbies. And one of the things that photography helped me to do was to see the world in particular ways. And I took this photograph up in Orkney, It's a place called Yesnebe. And when you've got that camera in your hand, you're focused on looking at a particular thing, to capture a particular scene. And the reason that the sea stack stands out, I'm going to give you a photography lesson, is that it stands on one of the third lines in the photograph. Photographs are split up into lines. Rules of thirds. That one, that one, that one, and that one. It's split up into thirds. So the reason we focus on the sea stack is because of that. Anyway, I hadn't planned to say that. And one of the things I want to think about today is, what lens are you looking through? As you go about life, what lens are you looking through? And as I was taking this photograph, there was a certain young man behind me taking this photograph. He'd picked up one of my lenses out of the camera bag, and he was taking a photograph of me, taking a photograph of the scene. And you can see from the photograph that I'm upside down. And that's what lenses do, just like your eye. Did you know that your eye actually works in the exact same way as a camera? Or is it that our cameras work in the same way as an eye? What came first? We know the eye came first. God's design came first. Man's design came second. But it's all quite amazing, really. And our eye actually flips the image. That's how our eye would see the image. Our brain flips it around. I actually heard a story. This is all for free. Hadn't planned to say this either. But I heard a story about somebody who got a special pair of glasses that inverted everything. And so when they walked about, they had these glasses on and everything was upside down. And they kept wearing them for about a month. And then eventually, one day, his brain flipped it back round again. How weird is that, eh? Don't know if that's true, but that's what I heard a few years ago. Quite interesting. And we're always focused on something. When I'm taking a picture, the camera, you select where you want that camera to focus. There's a point or multiple points. And it's just like your eye. And I'm going to put up another photograph. And this, for me, helps me to think about how we focus in on who God is and what he's doing in our lives. In that photograph, there's just one of those little moments where you're wandering around and you see this incredible scene. It's the sun shining through a horse chestnut leaf. And it was just absolutely captivating. It's like, wow, look at that. I was like, need to get a picture of that. But what's interesting in the picture is that all of the background noise, all the things that could distract you from that leaf, get my grammar right, sorry, Robert. All the things that could distract me from that leaf are blurred out in the background. It's blacked out, and it focuses your eye in on the main thing, which is the leaf, lit up by the sun. And it just made me think, that's, I think, what God wants us to do, focus in on him. The light of the world. Focus in on what he is doing. And I think in the same way our spirits, our hearts, our minds can be focused in on the thing that God has for us. And so I want to just think a wee bit about, what are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? Is it Christ today? Is that your main focus in life? We can get so focused on all sorts of things, can't we? Are you still with me? Are you sure? Okay, just checking. We can get focused in on work, can't we? And work can become all-consuming. We can get focused in on family, on finances, on health. And I mean being healthy, right? When, have you ever noticed that sometimes people can begin these fitness regimes and it becomes an obsession? Have you noticed that? It's never happened to me yet. But if we have health issues, they can become a focus. If we've got something going on, a health issue, it can absorb our attention and our time. It becomes a focus in our lives. And believe me, when we have health issues, they get us focused, very quickly. Have you noticed that when sometimes things go on the blink, when things break down, we can get really focused on them? Have you noticed that? When the washing machine goes on the blink, you're like, oh no. Or the cooker stops working, you're like, oh no. Or when the fridge freezer breaks, like yours is. We don't have a fridge freezer in the kitchen anymore. It's broken down and it becomes a focus. You're like, I need to get this replaced. I need to get this fixed. And, you know, it's like when you, I remember the days when I worked in Mitsubishi. It was further away than coming to the church. And there was days where maybe the car wouldn't start and you're like, oh no. I need to get this fixed because I need to get into work. Because if you're 1 second late in Mitsubishi, you get docked 15 minutes pay. And we don't want that. When things go wrong, they can become a focus. Am I talking to the right people here? Yeah? Have you ever had things go wrong and you just get obsessed about it? It's like, we need to get this fixed. We need to get this fixed. And all these kind of things can happen. We can focus on bad news. And it was interesting that Angela mentioned in our prayers, we don't necessarily hear the same information about Syria and Turkey in the news. We can focus and fixate on bad news. There's lots of things happening in our world, good and bad. And there are parts of the world where there are problems going on still, and we don't hear about them. And this really challenged me, actually. I thought, why do we as a church focus our giving, financial giving, on areas where there is need that are most present in the news? Have you noticed that? Like, there's a problem here, and we get really challenged to do something about it. And it's right that we do. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But there are so many other parts of the world where there are things going on just now, and there are Christians who need support, and there are organizations like Open Doors and Barnabas. There's a leaflet up the back there still for that if you want to take one. And they help people who are in crisis. There are people in crisis all over our world. We don't necessarily get challenged by that, but we get challenged by what's in the news. Just a thought. Do we focus on all the bad news? Do we focus on what our social media is telling us? I've been off of Facebook and off of Instagram for a long time now. I only occasionally go on to check some things. And these platforms have algorithms which will feed you more of the information that you want to look at. Things that you've maybe clicked on or you've looked at, it'll say, oh, they're interested in that, let's show them this. And that's kind of how it works. And it can actually be very polarizing when we get fed one lot of news. One person gets this and one person gets this. You know, I downloaded an app on my phone. It's actually Radio UK. Right, let me just press this wee button. Oh, it's not going to come up with anything now. It's not working. Will it work? Okay, scrap that, it's not working. It worked earlier. Here's one I prepared earlier. I should have watched more Blue Peter, eh? But you think about it. If you listen to Radio Scotland all the time, what are you going to hear? You're going to hear what the producers at Radio Scotland are wanting to tell you. If you listen to Radio 1 all the time, and I don't because it's too loud, if you listen to Radio 1, you'll get what the producers of Radio 1 want you to hear. And it's like that with social media and so many different other things. And they want us to focus in on what they think is important and their take on the world. We can focus on people's failures. Have you noticed that? We can focus on people's weaknesses rather than their strengths, their failures rather than the things that they're doing right. We can focus on our own failures, can't we? We can focus on our own failures and be overly interested and obsessed by the things that we're not good at. Have you ever noticed that? You do something, 10 people give you feedback, 9 are positive, 1's negative. What do we focus on? We focus on the 1 negative. We do it all the time. It's human nature. And yet we can focus on our strengths and play to our strengths. We focus on people and all the things that go on. I want to encourage us today to focus not just on the things that we see, the things that we're fed, the things that are immediate and round about us, but let's take time every day to focus on Jesus. Focus on him. Fix your eyes on Jesus, as it says in Hebrews. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Secondly, what lens are we looking through? I had that little picture up a minute ago. The reality for all of us is that we all look at life through a lens. That lens could be our thoughts, our intentions, our motivation, our precondition, our prejudices, our biases, our understanding. Ultimately, all these things form our worldview, how we view the world, how we see the world. And we look through that lens all the time. We can look through different kinds of lenses. And I want to challenge us, do we look through the lens of hope or the lens of despair? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says this, and it's an important verse, especially as we experience things as a church, which are challenging when we lose people that are close to us and dear to us, as we have done this week. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. We have this hope as an anchor. And I think that's incredible. We met with somebody a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying they'd been listening to somebody talking about the things that we've lost in our society over the last number of decades. And there were different things. I can't remember all the details of that. But this person said, now what we've lost in our society is our anchors. There's nothing anchoring society anymore, because everybody's just kind of floating out there in the ether and anything goes. There is no anchor. There is no nothing to secure us back into something that's fixed and firm. And that feeling of insecurity is not helpful for our society. And it's what causes some people to be shipwrecked in their lives. We have the possibility to look through the lens of hope. I encourage us to do that. Do we look through the lens of kindness or through the lens of selfishness? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says this: therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And there are many other passages in the scriptures which we can read, and they encourage us to do the same thing. Do we look through the lens of kindness? When we see things happening in other people's lives, how do we respond to that? What lens are we looking at them through? Do we look through the lens of forgiveness or the lens of anger? Challenging. Both of those things are interesting topics when you begin to study them. Forgiveness and anger. Challenging subjects. I've been thinking about those things for a wee while now. Maybe preach some messages on them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says this: bear with each other. That's hard, isn't it? Bear with each other, especially when we look at other people through our own point of view, our own worldview, our own frame of reference. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There's a challenge. It's hard to forgive people. As C.S. Lewis said, everybody thinks forgiveness is a great idea until you've got somebody to forgive. Different story when you've got to put it into practice. Do we look through the lens of forgiveness? Do we look through the lens of love or the lens of hate? Listen to what Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 says. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, says these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. All of these things, they will look through the lens of love. When we look at other people, the people in our families, the people in our neighborhoods, the people that we work with, and that can be challenging, can't it? When people rub us up the wrong way, when people wind us up, when people annoy us, when people do things that upset the apple cart, and we've got to love them, and we've got to pray for them, and we've got to bless them and not to curse them. That's a challenge. We can only do it through God's help, but I encourage us to look through the lens of love. And just lastly, very quickly, how are you processing what you see? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says this: so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Continue to live in him. And this is the challenge. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep going. There's no plan B. There's no other options. We can't turn back. We've got to keep going. How we process what we see in the world, how we process what's going on. And, you know, again, I was listening to something last Saturday, and it was a debate between a couple of people. And this person said that when it comes to the problem of suffering in our world, there are two ways to look at it. There's the intellectual problem of suffering, and there's the emotional problem of suffering. We look at our world today, we've been praying for that today. There are things that we look at, there's suffering in our world, and there's two ways to look at it. There's the intellectual kind of, why is this happening? But then there's the other, I'm in the middle of this and this is painful. And the challenge that this person put was, if we just say, well, God, you're causing all the suffering, or you're allowing me to go through all the suffering and pain, so I'm just going to forget about you. I'm going to reject you. I don't believe in you anymore. I'm going to abandon my faith, because how can this be right? Then we kind of deal in an intellectual sense with it. It's like, well, that side's kind of dealt with, but it doesn't deal with the pain that we're still feeling. If we throw God out of the equation, it doesn't take away the pain that we're feeling. And that really challenged me. And there's so many people who, when the challenge comes, when life circumstances turn around and it's not the way we want it, they kind of throw God out the window, but they've still got the pain. And you throw away any possibility of God coming and being your peace, the peace which surpasses understanding. And yet he encourages us, even in the challenges and the difficult times, to give thanks to him, as we were doing this morning. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. There's a challenge. How do we rejoice in the middle of difficult circumstances? And we know we've had to put this into practice in our lives. And I can guarantee you that putting the word of God into practice, when suffering's happening around us and in us, changes us. It doesn't change the circumstances, but it changes us. It changes our understanding of who God is, and it changes who we are on the inside. I said this just either last week or the week before. I said the Christian faith is a lived-out faith. It's not a theoretical faith. It's not something that's out there in the ether. It's a lived-out faith, and we need to act. We need to do. We need to live it out. We need to work out our faith, work out our salvation continually. James chapter 2, verse 17 says this, in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. We need to work out our faith. It's not good just saying, I believe this. You've got to put it into practice. Colossians 4, verse 2. Excuse me. Says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves. Is that something that you think about, or is it something that you do? To devote yourselves to prayer, you just think about it. Oh, I'll think about prayer. Yeah. Prayer for prodigals on Tuesday night. I'll think about that. No. To do it is to actually do it. Now, whether you're there in person or online on Zoom, as it will be on Tuesday night, or whether you do that in your own space because at that point in time you can't manage. And I get that. Sometimes that happens. Devote yourselves is it's a doing thing. It's a put it into practice thing. It's not an option. Christianity, if you're serious about Christianity, you need to put it into practice. It's not an option. If you don't put it into practice, James is saying your faith's dead. There's nothing to it. Although we're saved by grace, we need to work out our salvation. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17 says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Complete the work. Keep going. Keep facing on the way. How are you processing what you're seeing? Are you keeping on? Keeping on. There's a watching God, aware of our every thought, our every word, our every action. Just as there was a watching father looking for the prodigal to return. There is a watching father who's looking for the prodigals to return. The prodigals that we're praying for and we're watching for, he's watching for as well. And he's acting in their lives. God is watching all the time. We read this in Exodus 2, 25. God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. And God looks upon you and I, and he's concerned about the things that concern us. I'm just going to finish off by quoting Hebrews, well, a couple of verses from Scripture very quickly. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. What lens are we looking through? What lens are we looking through? What are you focusing on? What lens are you looking through? And how we process and what we see. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross. He endured difficulty. He endured suffering. He endured pain, physical, spiritual, and emotional agony. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What an amazing passage. This is what Jesus has done for us. This is where he is. This is where he prays and intercedes for us when we're going through the difficulties, when we're going through the mill. Even when we've lost our focus, even when our lens is needing a bit of adjustment and we're looking at life through the wrong lens, he's there. And really, today's message is multifaceted. And there's many applications. Some have been on the Christian road for decades. And you've experienced all sorts of things. And when we sing Amazing Grace, it means something to you. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And we know, we can testify to it. And some are just beginning. But the encouragement to all of us is to keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is my last scripture, honest. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I love this passage. It comes at the end of Paul's discourse on the resurrection. And he encourages us to keep going. And he encourages us that our labor for the Lord is not in vain. I wish I could remember where I heard this. I just heard it in the last couple of weeks. But somebody was talking about this very passage, and they said it doesn't matter how big or small or how mundane you think the thing is that you've been doing for God, doesn't matter. God sees it all, and he says that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I just heard a story on Friday night when we gathered for the World Day of Prayer, and I'll not go into that because it's very personal, but somebody who just did a simple thing, and you would never think about it, and it could easily be forgotten in our minds, but somebody remembered this because what happened as a result of that simple thing changed somebody's life. And I just think, that's amazing. That's God at work. The simple, mundane, it might be a word that you say, a conversation that you have, and it brings transformation. It brings change. Your labor for the Lord is not in vain. I don't know about you, I need to be encouraged by that very thought many times. Let us remember that everything we do for him matters and counts. I think for all of us, let's stop for long enough to get focused in on who God is and what he's saying, and let's, if we're needing some calibration in our lens, let's get our lens sorted out. So if I take these off, well, there's a bit of a fuzz, okay? And I look a bit odd without my glasses on. If I put my reading glasses on, there's a big bit of a fuzz. I was like, wait a minute, I was sitting on my laptop. I'm like, why am I getting a depth of field effect? If you know what photography stuff. And I'm like, oh, it's because I've got my reading glasses on. I can't focus on what's there, you know. It only focuses on here. We need to think about the lens that we're looking at life through. And if it needs correction, if it needs adjustment, let's ask God to help us with that. Let's just pray as we finish off today. Father, we thank you that you have been in this place today. You've been present with us. And Lord, we know that you're here to strengthen everyone. Father, in the task that is set before us, the thing that you've called us to, and Lord, you're asking us to just stick in there. Stay the course, complete the task, complete the work that I've called you to do. And Father, we all need that encouragement today to keep going, to keep running the race, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to keep him as our focus. And Lord, we pray that as we go out into the world that we live in, whether it's we go home to our families and just the challenges maybe some of us face there, if we go into our streets, our workplaces, and Lord, you know the challenges some of us are facing in the workplace. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us. Father, maybe for some of us in the workplace, our lens just needs a little bit of adjustment. The person that we're looking at, maybe it's our lens that needs adjustment. And so, Father, we pray, challenge us, help us to think about ourselves and the way that we're seeing other people, and be challenged by your word today. Father, to be clothed with kindness and compassion. Father, to forgive when it's hard to forgive. Lord, we all need to put that into practice. So, Lord, we just pray, lead us on into today and into this week and all that you have for us. And, Father, we just pray, may we know your strength. And may we know your protection, and may we know your peace as we continue to walk with you, putting one foot in front of another. Lord, we might not be able to see far down the road ahead, but Lord, you give us the light for our path for today, one step at a time. Lord, help us to trust you when we can't see the future. Lord, help us to trust you for the one step that you're asking us to take just now. And Lord, as we just thought about earlier, maybe it's a door that's been opened, and we need to take a step of faith to go through that door. Lord, we pray that you'd give us that strength and help us to take that step of faith. And so, Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. We pray your blessing, your peace, and your grace over this congregation, all who are joined online, all who are here in the building, Father, all who are part of our congregation, and Lord, those even whom we've not seen for a while, Lord, we just pray that your grace and your peace and your mercy would rest upon each one of us and strengthen us to complete the task which you've called us to. And so, Lord, we pray blessing over our tea and coffee, our refreshments, and our fellowship time together. Lord, may we know your presence in that and all the things that we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great day and a great week.